Holy Word. Our sermon series has been questions that Jesus asked. And I believe we have had 12 sermons concerning it. This will be the last one. There are many, many, many more questions that Jesus asked, but this will be the last one in this series. And it's very appropriate because it is a scripture verses that I think we're all familiar with. We all know this. But hopefully there are a few things this morning that will just jog something in our hearts. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, and here's our question, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Heavenly Father, may our faith be like that of the foreigner. When the other 9 should have known, they did not. But may we be different. Help us, Lord, to take firm hold of you and not only the gift of salvation that you hand out, but the life that you give us that we might live it in this time. Praise be your holy name, now and forevermore. Amen. Most of you have probably heard of Andrew Carnegie, philanthropist, billionaire. He was involved in the early years of the steel industry in the United States. He died in 1919. He left $1 million to one of his relatives. Now, if someone left you $1 million today, you would be so thrilled. You'd probably quit your job, and it would take care of your life and probably the next couple of generations $1 million. However, that relative that received $1 million was actually mad and upset with Carnegie because Carnegie gave $365 million to charities. $365 million. Now, let me tell you what that would be worth. $1 million today is enormous. Back in 1919, it would be something like $15,226,000. Did he have a problem with ingratitude? Thanklessness? Yes, he did. That's the story here this morning. You're dismissed. You can go home now since you know the story. Let me encourage you to take this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you'll take some notes this morning. As I said, this is a simple story. It fits the season for us, and it's appropriate for us to talk about it. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and as he entered a village, he encountered 10 lepers. And as you know, leprosy was a dreaded disease. Let me share some of the things with you concerning these lepers. A leper was an outcast, untouchable. Let's say that your brother or your sister got leprosy, and you were living then. Or your mom or your dad or even one of your children. That would be it. That would be it. They would be now untouchables. They would be outcasts. They no longer could live in society, and they could not live with you anymore. Lepers had to wear torn clothing. Lepers had to let their hair hang loose. These were all rules that were set for lepers at that time. Lepers had to cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" I was trying to think of something funny I could say about Lou, but I decided I better not. I better not do that. If a leper came too close, people were allowed to throw stones at them. So if people throw stones at you, you might think you're a leper. Perhaps you had stones thrown at you, I don't know. If a leper walked into a house, that house became unclean. That house became unclean. A Jew could not come within 6 feet of a leper. And so if you're walking, you're going somewhere, and you see everybody 6 feet away from you, you better take a look and see, wow, am I a leper? Do I have something wrong with me? It was illegal even to greet a leper. Once diagnosed with leprosy, a person could never touch another person again. Can you imagine that? You could never touch, if you got leprosy, you could never touch anyone else the rest of your life. And we know how important touch is. Leviticus 13:45 says, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" There's a man with leprosy, not from biblical times, but early 1900s. You could see his skin is scaly, it's rough, almost like a lion type skin. Philip Yancey, in his book, Where is God When It Hurts, said this: "Leprosy destroys the signal system for pain. Leprosy patients lose their fingers and toes not because the disease can cause decay, but because they lack pain sensations. Nothing warns them when water is too hot or a hammer handle is splintered. Accidental self-abuse destroys their bodies." This cross, I've said this a number of times, if you ran your hand down through it, you would get splinters. If there was a person with leprosy and they did that, they would not feel it. If you were walking on hot coals, you would not know they were hot unless you saw them glowing. You could burn your feet. Sometimes you see lepers with fingers missing or nose. That's because they don't feel the pain. They do not feel the pain whenever they run into something or touch something. Something happens to them. In Unclean, Unclean, Li Huizenga says this about a leper: "The skin gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. The thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers. The face begins to resemble that of a lion. One can even smell that person, for the leper emits a very unpleasant odor." You may want to go home now. In the Middle Ages, in many of the countries back then, they had to carry a little bell also. And so that if you heard that little bell, you wanted to step aside and get out of the way. Also, in the Middle Ages, if someone got leprosy, they were brought to the church. This is the Middle Ages now, before the Protestant Reformation. And the priest would read a funeral service over that person. Basically, they were basically declared to be dead. So you can see how terrible this disease was. Called Hansen's disease. There are cures now for leprosy. Did you know that? There are cures now for leprosy. It takes 6 months to a year. But there are cures now. It's still, I wouldn't want it. You know, I would imagine if I lived back then, I would probably be declared to be a leper. Because I get eczema. And I have a little bit on my hand. Everybody of you come on up and take a look. I'm only kidding. I have a little bit on my hand. And sometimes I get it on my foot. But I have a little bit on my hand right now. And it's a little red. I bet if I lived back then, I would be called a leper. And I would imagine there were a lot of skin diseases back then that was not leprosy, and they were probably called leper. They didn't want to take any chances back then. We can say four things about these 10 lepers. First, the lepers sensed their need. They sensed their need. That's why they came to Jesus. They had a real need. Second, they knew who Jesus was. They called him Master. After all, 9 of the 10 lepers were Jews. They called him Master. They called to him in a loud voice. And they asked for pity or mercy. Verse 13, all of those. Third, 9 of the lepers were Jews and 1 was a Samaritan. 9 were Jews and 1 was a Samaritan. And we talked about Samaritans several weeks ago. And if you remember, Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans were half Jewish. In 721 BC, at that time, after King Solomon died, I told you this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. After Solomon died, the kingdom split into two, the northern kingdom, Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah. In 721 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, took them away, and those Jewish people were forced to intermarry with the Assyrians, and there you have the birth of the Samaritans. They were not allowed to worship in the temple, these half-Jewish. As a result, they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. And that's a whole other story. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, what happens with her. And she's talking about worship and what Jesus has to say about worship even back then. So one of them was a Samaritan. And if you know your Bible, and I hope you do, Jesus had several stories about Samaritans showing them how they were despised by the full Jewish people. And how yet sometimes their faith was shown greater than that of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people hated. A Pharisee said and prayed and thanked God that he was not born a Gentile, a woman, or a Samaritan. Last, and this is very interesting. You may know this. In the Bible, leprosy is a symbol for sin. Did you know that? It's a symbol for sin. Let me show you some things. First, like leprosy, sin starts small and it spreads. We may think if we are going off in another direction that this isn't any big deal, but it always leads to other things. It's like a domino effect. It isn't just one. Because when we know we're going off, we have to make excuses. And we set up walls. And we set up walls, we become defensive. We become defensive, we really go off. Like leprosy, sin is contagious and it is inherited. We're all born with a sinful nature. And the evidence of that, and I've said this so many times, you do not have to teach your children to be bad. You can keep them isolated in your home and never let them play outside. Keep them in your house forever until they're 21, and I guarantee they'll still be bad because we're born with a sinful nature. Like leprosy, sin corrupts the flesh. And of course, I'm not talking about this stuff, the flesh, but who we are inside, sinful nature. Like leprosy, sin is hideous. It breaks out into loathsome forms. And I said, it's not just one thing. It leads to many other things. Many other things, if we don't catch hold of it. Like leprosy, sin causes us to be unclean. And the thing about that, we don't, if we're going off in a certain direction, we may not be thinking that because we've let our hearts get hardened. But we're unclean according to God's standards. And we're in trouble. Like leprosy, sin causes banishment. If we don't take care of sin in our life, we will not enter heaven. We will be banished out of that. Like leprosy, sin is an example of depravity. Like leprosy, sin is a state of living death. Unless, of course, we come to Christ, it's only a matter of time. Like leprosy, sin will eventually bring death. The truth is, we are all spiritual lepers until we come to Christ. People don't look at themselves that way. You know how people look at people. I was talking to someone the other day. We were talking about the idea of getting into heaven. And I said to them, as I typically do, what if a terrorist put a bomb outside of our building and it blew up us with a building and we're standing before God and God says, this isn't the person's name, I'll make up a name, Joe and Steve, why should I let you into my heaven? And I said to this person, you know what people basically tell me? Well, I'm not so bad, I'm basically good. I told that to the... That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I'm basically good. I'll tell you the rest of that some other time. We are all spiritual lepers until we come to Jesus for cleansing. And make no mistake about it. Every single person born needs to come to Christ. I don't care how cute the babies are, and they are cute. They're cute. As they grow, they will need to come to Christ. And for us who think, for people who think like, well, I am basically good. I think I'm going to squeak in. There will be no squeakers in heaven. There will be no squeakers. You're either in or you're out. You've either taken hold of Christ in your life or you haven't. If you've taken hold of Christ in your life, it should show. It should show. Well, this story isn't so much about healing, although there's healing. There is healing, and that's great. It's about the reaction to the healing. It's about what happens after. It's about what happens after. And the healing is wonderful. It's part of the story. But it's about what is happening after. 10 lepers come to Christ. 10 lepers come to Christ. 10 men believe, 10 men, 10 lepers believe that Jesus can help them. 10 believe that Jesus can help them. 10 were obedient and went to the priests. But only one came back. Only one came back to give thanks. Only one came back to give thanks. Why do you think the other 9 didn't come? I'm sure they had good reasons. They must have had good reasons why they didn't come. Maybe they wanted to go see their family right away. That's a good reason, isn't it? But Jesus wasn't happy with it. He said, where are the other 9? And that would be something we would think of. I want to go show my family. Look what happened to me. But Jesus is saying, where are the other 9? Why did only one come? You know why? You know why Jesus is like that, right? And God is, but he wants us, he wants all. He doesn't want us to hold anything back from him. He wants all. All of us. Oh, maybe perhaps it wasn't convenient. Maybe they had traveled. We have to go show ourselves to the priest. Now, oh my goodness, I'll come tomorrow. Where are the other nine? Jesus said. Maybe they thought, you know what? Maybe I really didn't have leprosy after all, because look at me. It's gone. Perhaps they were just so excited they forgot all about it. Maybe they wanted to see if it lasts. If it lasts, then I'll go back and thank him. But again, Jesus asked, where are the other nine? All of those are good reasons. All of them are good reasons. But Jesus wants us to come to him constantly, all the time. It seems people today have a problem saying, thank you, excuse me, I'm sorry, all of those things. I was in Walmart 2 weeks ago. Walmart's amazing. I talk about Walmart a lot. I was in Walmart 2 weeks ago, and I was in the aisle where the vitamins are. And a woman, as happens, a woman came by with her cart and went right in front of me. You know, that happens all the time. Only she turned, she said, I'm sorry, excuse me. And I went, excuse me? I said, you are the first person in about 9 months that said, excuse me, when they walked in front. And she smiled. She said, I have to do that. I said, thank you. Thank you. I said, that's going to keep me going for a while. It's one person. One person did what was right. Because you know that. They walk right in front of you. You're there looking, and instead of saying, excuse me, or going behind you, or they go right in front, don't say anything. It's amazing. I am stunned. I really am. I'm not just saying. I am stunned. I am stunned by our culture today. By the lack of manners that we have. If I had done that when I was a kid, I may not have lived. Those of you that are close to my age know that. May not have lived after that. Fala. Fala. In Croatian, that's thank you. Okay. We're all adopted Croatians, right? Say, fala. Ferguson's, you hear that? When you go over to Croatia, you want to say fala. You can say fala lepo. That's real. Thank you very much. Fala lepo. Fala. How about this one? Spasiba. Can you guess what language? Spasiba. You guess what language that is? Russian. Russian. I don't know how do you say thank you in Italian, Adrian? Grazie. And in Spanish, gracias, right? Gracias. In the Greek, you say it, sas efharisto. Sas efharisto. I may be not saying your language, so don't be mad at me. Don't throw darts at me. Something has happened to us. Something has happened to us in our culture. Maybe you're thinking of yourself, you know, I do that same thing. I walk in front of people. Our hearts can get hardened. Our thinking gets hardened. Our thinking gets hardened. We don't even realize it sometimes that that's happening. There's a criminal lawyer named Samuel Leibowitz. He saved 78 people from the electric chair. 78 people from the electric chair, none of them thanked him. Art King had a radio program called Job Center of the Air. He found jobs for 2,500 people. Only 10 thanked him out of 2,500. That's our culture. It's our culture. I am astounded, and I'm not saying that for the sake of the sermon. I am astounded by the lack of manners today and the way our culture has become so hardened. Please, Parents, those of you that have young children, teach your children some basic manners. Teach them some basic manners. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you when something is given to them. This is nothing. I have a computer at home. You know, we have all these things today. We receive something, we don't even care because it's too little. It's too little. It's not big enough because we've gotten so used to having so much of everything. So much of everything. Anyway, you catch the drift of all this. Three actions of the one who returned. The foreigner. The one who would not be expected to return. The one who was hated by the other nine. The one who was a Samaritan, not fully Jewish. He praised God in a very soft voice. He praised God in a very soft voice. He praised God in a loud voice. Do you know, I hope you take advantage of our time of worship. That's the purpose, you know. We're singing praise unto God. We're singing praise unto God. I grew up in a church where, as a boy, people hardly sang at all. And you said, I used to wonder, what is wrong? What is wrong? It's our time to worship God. Praise is the Greek word doxa. We get the word doxology from that word. We get the word doxology, which means to glorify, to honor, to praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's a doxology. Let's sing the doxology. Two, he threw himself prostrate at Jesus' feet. It's an act of humility. You know, I haven't said this in a while, that almost every time, but in the New Testament, the main word that's used for worship is proskuneo. And it means to, we may think, well, what the proskuneo? It means to prostrate oneself. It means to kiss the feet of. He threw himself prostrate at Jesus. He was so thankful at what Jesus had done. He came back and fell at his feet. He thanked Jesus. He thanked him. And the Greek word, and I love it, it's used so many times in the New Testament, is eucharisteo, eucharisteo. Made up of two words, you mean good, charis, grace, good grace, good grace. He thanked Jesus. This word is found a number of times, and one of the more important times that we find it is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had eucharisteo, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's the Greek word, eucharisteo. So, how can we cultivate thankfulness? How can we do that? How can we do that for ourselves? How can we do it for our family members? How can we do it for our children? Well, I know you know this. Life is a gift. You know that, right? Life is a gift. Thank God for the life that he has given you. I know I say this every so often. Every morning, and Stacy can be a witness, every morning to our time of prayer, I say, Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for another day. And if you know how short life is, and if you've ever had a major disease, and I know that Dave knows what I'm talking about, when you have something major, it's not that you don't thank him, but you become even more thankful for the life that you have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. You're giving me another day. It's another day of opportunity. You know that, right? Every day is a day of opportunity. It's an opportunity that God gives us. What if you knew? What if you knew that this day was the last day you would ever have? Would it be different? I'm sure it would. But you don't know. You don't know. And most of you know this, but just for those who are visiting or recent, 6 years ago, I preached just like I am now. Preached on a Sunday morning. I went home, and I started to feel ill. And I started to get this pain. The next morning, we met Josh and Steph and the kids for breakfast at Moon Township. I wasn't hungry. I couldn't eat. I wasn't feeling well. As the day wore on, I knew I had, I think, kidney stone. But I've had them before. It's no big deal. I figured a couple of days it'll be gone. Well, 2 weeks went by. It was too big to pass. And I was home, and the pain was so great, if you ever had one, the pain was so great, I draped my leg over my chair like that for hours at a time. And I thought, I can feel my leg. I think I have a blood clot in my leg now. And so after about 3.5 weeks of this stuff, finally it was blasted out. But I told the doctor, I think I have a blood clot in my leg. He said, come on back to the hospital. This was the next day after I had it blasted. Come on, come back to the hospital. Sure enough, I did. That was Monday. Tuesday, my kidneys were shutting down. Everybody was praying. My kidneys were shutting down. Wednesday, things started up look good because all of you were praying. I'm convinced of that. Amen. Thursday, they're going to send me home. I said, you know, I got a little pain in my lung. I said, but I always have that because when I was in South America many, many, many years ago, I caught dysentery, then I caught pleurisy on top of that, and I have a little growth in there. It's not cancerous. It just causes me issues. And he said, yeah, we're going to send you down anyway. Sure enough, I had a blood clot in my lung now. Life is a gift. I lived to haunt you now every week. Every week. I'm healthier now than I was 6 years. I'm healthier now than I was 8 years ago. I'm healthier now than I was 10 years ago. Every day is a gift. Two, thank God for His provision. I know everybody that lives in America, we all need more. We all want more. We don't have enough. We want more all the time. I'm no different. But thank God for His provision, no matter what it is. Third, thank God for friends and family. Maybe you don't come from a good family. Maybe you have a tough, hard family. Last week, we talked about we are brothers and sisters. Really what that means. Really what it means biblically and what Jesus meant by that. Utilize this family. Use this family. For thank God for His grace and free gift of salvation. Never get used to that. Never take it for granted. Never think, I'm saved, yeah. Never take it for granted. Five, thank God by worshiping with others at church. Thank God by honoring the fourth commandment. Six, thank God by your giving of tithes and offerings. The giving of our tithes and offerings is a way of worship. It shows what we think about God and how important He is. Let me give you, Lord, the best. Not the least. Seven, don't always expect instant gratification from God. Know that He's in charge. Know that He is sovereign. Know, not just here, know it here. Because you spend time with Him. And you know that everything that's going on, He is not caught off guard. He knows exactly what's happening. He knows exactly what's happening in our life. If he knows exactly what's happening, there's something then for me that I have to learn and pick up. Something I'm missing. 8, say thank you often when others show generosity or kindness. Teach your kids. 9, consciously balance your thanking with your asking. And 10, every good thing in our lives is an act of grace from God Almighty. Hopefully you know that, and so you're constantly thanking him for the many, many good things in our lives. Thanking him, Lord, thank you for letting me live in America. Thank you for letting me be born in America. We've had the opportunity, Stacy and I, to travel over large parts of the world. America, still with all of its trouble, still is the best country in the world. Still yet. Robert Edmonds is a professor of psychology at the University of California, Davis. He said this, the key is not to leave it on the Thanksgiving table. You know, Thanksgiving, what a great time to give thanks. Not just for Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving is about thankful living. Thanksgiving is about thankful living. Living a life of thanksgiving for God. Many of you, maybe all of you, remember Alex Haley. Alex Haley wrote the book Roots, which became a series, the 1980s, 70s? 1970s, it was fantastic. But he wrote that book, very, very famous. And he has this picture, or he had this picture hanging in his office. And when people would come to visit him, people would ask him, why do you have the picture of a turtle on a post like that? This is what he said. Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. You know, many, many years ago, Thanksgiving, we have a little thing that we do every Thanksgiving. I made a little couple of verses, and we passed them around, and we read them, and then we would pray. Stephanie took that to a whole new level, And she's been in charge of it now for many, many years. And we each take now, she has these, she saves them and adds to them every year, little slips that's either a scripture verse or something that someone wrote. And we have to read it and then say something about it, whatever it is. And then we go all around our families. And then after that, I say, okay, now, let's go around again. This time a little sentence prayer, a sentence or two of prayer, and we go around. And that's a tradition, one of our traditions in our family. I look forward to that. I look forward to that time, even more so than the turkey, because it's our family doing this, gathered together in that way, musicians. Not because he's bad, but he would love the opportunity to share the message of the gospel of salvation to you. Maybe you think you're good enough to get into heaven. You're not. Jesus said, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Last time I checked, nobody's perfect. We need him in a way, but I think we might not understand. He'd love to share that message with you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Dismiss us, pastors.
Dear Father, we give you thanks, Lord. Help us to have more and more thanks in our lives, Lord. Thanks for each other, and above all, thanks to you, Lord. We give you thanks for salvation, for love, for grace, for our very breath, Lord. Help us to live that thanks out in our lives, Lord. We ask a blessing on everyone here, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.